If we read these books, we can't steal anymore. Viktor Goncharenko, the first Gideon that they signed up in the former Soviet Union, tells about a camp that he organized in Harbart, Siberia. And Mikhail Gorbachev had eased the religion called Glasnost, so they sent some Bibles over to this new camp for them to distribute. But the local officials still would not allow them to distribute Bibles. They went back to the old times and wouldn't let them do it. So the Gideons prayed that somehow God would see and open up the doors that they might be able to hand out these Bibles that they had been shipped to them. Harbart was a large city, and because of the shortage of fuel and everything, most of the people rode public transportation. And you've seen San Francisco, where the people ride the streetcars and they hang off the sides, so crowded and everything. Well, that's what they did in Harbart. And the pickpockets had a field day. The fellows would hang off the side and they would be relieved of their wallets pretty soon after they got off on the streetcar. Well, one of the Gideons had a great idea. They bought some wallets large enough to handle two of these Russian Testaments, and they put the wallets in their pockets and got on the streetcar, and they made an effort that they would hang off the side for sure, and sure enough, it wasn't long, they were relieved of their wallets. And they would watch the pickpockets, and they would open it up, and they'd look confused because there was no money in there. They were these little books in their wallets. After a few weeks, a couple of the pickpockets came to a local minister and said, "Would you take these books?" And the pastor looked at it, and he says, realized they were Bibles, and he says, "No, you take them and read them." So they said, "No, you take them, because when we read those books, we can't steal no more." So the pastor convinced them to take the Bibles with them, and within a few weeks, several of those pickpockets came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And churches like First Baptist of Piedmont supplied the funds that those Gideons were able to hand out to those people in Harbart. Since most of our scriptures come from churches, the Gideons International feel that we should return back to you and tell what God is doing through your prayers and your contributions to this ministry. And it's biblical. In Acts, the 15th chapter, in verse 4, it says, "And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them." A couple were having lunch one day in Brazil, and a knock came on the door, and the man of the house got up and went to the door, and there was this young man standing there, and he says, "Can I help you?" He says, "Are you the man of the house?" And the gentleman of the house said, "Yes, I am, but I don't know you." He says, "How long have you lived here?" He says, "About 10 years. He says, "Well, you're the gentleman I need to talk to. You see, about 7 years ago, I broke into your house and I stole your possessions, and I broke into several homes in this community, but I was caught and I was put in the Belo Horizonte prison, and I've been there for 7 years. And while I was there was this man came by and he handed me a testament like this, and I read it and I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I made a commitment to him that I would make restitution for what I had done, so that's why I'm here. I want to repay for what I stole from him." The man of the house said, "Now let me get this straight. 7 years ago you broke into my house and you stole my possessions, is that right?" And he says, "Yes, sir." He says, "And you were caught and was sentenced to the Belo Horizonte prison?" And he says, "Yes, sir, that's right." He said, "Now let me tell you something. About 8 years ago, I joined an association called the Gideons International, and I have been handing out Bibles in the Belo Horizonte prison ever since. More than likely, I gave you that testament." And he invited the gentleman into his house. He says, "Come in," says, "you can have lunch. You don't have to break in. You can have lunch with us today." The Gideons International is an association of business and professional men, which is an extended arm of the local church, like First Baptist Piedmont. How many Gideons do we have in Piedmont First? 4 or 5 Gideons already in the church, but we could always use more. We have to be a member in good standing and an active member of the local evangelical church. And we have to be recommended by the pastor to be a Gideon. Herb Thompson is a very young man. He is handsome and he was well-liked, but he got into the wrong crowd. And that crowd, after a while, became jealous of him and they beat him up. They almost killed him and they put him in the hospital. The next morning, Herb woke up and he had went through surgery and he looked around the room and there's this elderly gentleman sitting over on the left, laying on the bed, and the elderly gentleman realized that Herb had woken up and he says, "Young man, are you a Christian?" Now that's the last thing Herb Thompson wanted to hear after coming out of surgery and getting beaten up. He says, "Old man, mind your own business." The old gentleman got out of bed, grabbed a hold of his IV pole and started across toward Herb's bed, and on the way over, he picked up one of these testaments on the nightstand and went over to Herb's bed, slid down that IV pole, and started reading out of God's Word, a very ungrateful young man. After a while, Herb went off to sleep. And the next morning, he woke up, and first thing he did, looked over that bed, and it was neatly made up. And when the nurse came in, he asked, "Where's the old man? Did he go home?" He said, "Well, kind of. You see, he died this morning about 2 o'clock." Herb looked over. The old man wasn't there, but on that nightstand was that book that he had been reading from him. He, on his deathbed, he saw fit to come and read to that very ungrateful young man. Herb took that Bible home and started studying it. Came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Herb now is a head pastor of a large church in San Antonio, Texas. And because of your donations, that Bible was placed on that nightstand in that hospital. Erskine Beasley is our Pice International president, or chaplain, I'm sorry. And he tells about a visit that he made in Escondido, Mexico, on the Baja Peninsula of Low California. And he was visited a hotel, and when he went in and they introduced Erskine to the manager just gave him a great big old bear hug. And he says, "Come into my office." So Erskine went into the manager's office and says, "Why are you so excited?" He says, "I'm so glad that you're here." He says, "I have been the manager of this hotel with 600 rooms for over 10 years. I have many cases where people have come to my hotel to take their lives. But because there was a Bible in that room, they didn't do it. But," he said, "on 7 occasions, they did take their life. 5 of those, they had their phone in their hands because they realized what they had done and wanted help. All 7 of those rooms did not have a Bible in it." He said, "Mr. Beasley, would you please make sure that my hotel never runs out of Bibles? Make sure they're in here." And Erskine gave him that promise that the Gideons would always keep Bibles in their rooms. We go into hotels twice a year. And we check all the Bibles to see if they're damaged or if they're missing. If they're missing, we replace them. If they're damaged, we put a new one in there to make sure that those traveling will have God's Word at their exposure. Erskine tells about another trip that he made in Peru. They had set up a distribution, and I think Al McElby has been on a EAP. I don't know if you've been on one. And EAP is extended action where several countries that support themselves go to countries that cannot support themselves and help them place Bibles. They went to Lima and they went to the local Catholic diocese and asked them about placing Bibles in the Catholic schools. Well, the bishop refused, wouldn't allow them to do it. So they had set up a timetable that they were going to place Bibles on. This was on Tuesday that they were asked the bishop to do it on Wednesday. So they took the distribution they had planned on Thursday for the colleges to move it up to Wednesday. Wednesday morning, the Gideons put out their books on the campus of their Bibles in boxes and were handing them out to the college students as they went to class. And all of a sudden, there was a convoy of school buses started pulling up. Little children started getting off the buses. And if you know a Gideon, we love to hand out Bibles. So they started handing out the Bibles to these children. The college had right at 20,000 students. That day they handed out 37,000 students of testaments. Come to find out that every year on that date, the local college schools sent their children, or a local Catholic school sent their children to that college for orientation. So they were able to get those Bibles whether the bishop wanted them to have them or not. 17,000 of them were given out that day. The purpose of the Gideons is the first to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Secondly, to place God's Word in hotels, motels, hospitals, colleges, the military, the prisons, to medical personnel. In Acts, Revelations 3 and 8, it says, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door." Our ladies' auxiliary, they put Bibles in into doctors' offices and nurses, and they also help in placing them in hospitals and nursing homes. Mrs. Robert Chapman from Cincinnati gave her testimony at an international convention in Nashville, Tennessee on our 100th anniversary. And she tells about this gentleman that came in that was on a convention, and he came into the hospital with appendicitis. The man weighed 438 pounds, so he had all kind of complications. He was in ICU for 45 days. One morning, he woke up and started screaming out loud so that they could hear it down the hall. Mrs. Chapman went into the room, and the gentleman grabbed a hold of her hand. He says, "I had a dream this morning that God told me that I had to know this Jesus Christ." He says, "I am a Jew." And he says, "I know that my people kill the Lord Jesus Christ. I must know this man before morning." Mrs. Chapman got her little white testament out and started reading him the plan of salvation. And he accepted Jesus Christ before morning. The man went home. He started getting real well right away. And he went home. And a year later, he came back and he met with Mrs. Chapman. He says, "With that Bible that I took from the hospital, I have won my wife and three children to the Lord Jesus Christ. But my extended family has rejected me. As a matter of fact, they had a funeral because they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "I want to thank you for allowing me to have that Bible that I come to know Jesus Christ through that witness." In Hebrews 4 and 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart." The average income in the United States is over $47,000. We are organized in 193 countries. 48 of those countries have an income of less than $2,500 a year. 29 of those countries have an income of less than $750 a year. These people cannot afford to buy food and clothing, much less buy scriptures. So without your help, these countries would not have available to them the scriptures that the Gideons are able to place. Plant the seed. We are not expected to germinate the seed. Jesus said to plant it. The world's a field in need. God does not expect us to cause the seed to sprout. He just said to plant it and plant it all about. Jesus never told us to make the seed to grow. He just said to plant it and plant it wherever we go. God does not expect us to make the seed to bear fruit. Jesus said to plant it and pray that it would root. Jesus does expect us to plant the gospel seed. To plant it and plant it and plant it. The world's in desperate need. Plant the seed and sow it. Get much seed in the soil. Jesus said the harvest would compensate for your toil. There was this hungry Nimitz fisherman. He left town in the Yamal Peninsula in Siberia. The Nimitz are hunters and fishermen, and this man, as he was leaving, he prayed to any god that would listen to him to help him find food for his family. He walked a little ways, and all of a sudden, a little book fell beside him out of the sky. He got the book, started reading it, and went back to his village and told him, says, "I have got a sign that they organized a church with 47 people in it." What this little Nimitz man didn't know was that there was a helicopter flying over with government officials in it with food to be handed out to relief people in little villages. Well, they ran across this little box of books, and they said, they can't eat this. We don't need them. So they started throwing those books out of that helicopter. One of those fell beside that Nimitz man. Another thing that little Nimitz man didn't know was that a church like First Baptist had purchased those scriptures, had shipped them over to Russia to be handed out. And he didn't know that the people were praying that that little Bible would come to know that someone would come to the Lord Jesus Christ through that Bible. And it did. Daniel Sanchez of Ecuador, as a young man, got into drugs and he got into alcohol and all kind of mischief. And he was so wicked that he became a hitman. At one time, he killed four people. Next, he got caught when he killed two people. He was sent to prison, and while he was in prison, a Gideon came by and gave him a little testament. He read that little testament and he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He organized a church and started preaching in that prison. A high government official came to him and says, I'll give you $750,000 and your freedom if you'll kill two people for me. Daniel couldn't do it because he was now a Christian, and he turned him down. They shipped him off to the worst prison in Peru that they had, in Ecuador, I'm sorry, that they had. But he still preached the gospel, and when he got out, he became a missionary. And he gave his testimony at one of our Gideon banquets, and someone in the audience asked him, says, Brother Daniel, how many people do you think you have won to the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, between 3,000 and 4,000 people. Wouldn't you like to know if that donation that you gave purchased that one little Bible that Daniel picked up from that Gideon and came to know and won all these people to the Lord Jesus Christ? In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. These testimonies that we give, we call them returns, because it says, that shall not return to me void. Those testimonies are returns of that. You can help the Gideons in three different ways. First of all, please pray for the Gideon ministry. We have Gideons in countries that it is against the law or their lives are in danger for being a Christian, and especially for handing out God's word. So pray for these Gideons. Pray for government officials that the doors will remain open that are opened, and that new doors will open for us to place these Bibles in the world. Secondly, you can become a Gideon. You can wear this emblem. A Gideon in the British Parliament was in a receiving line with Mikhail Gorbachev coming through, and he came to this Gideon, and he says, what's that pin? And he says, that's a Gideon emblem. He says, who are the Gideons? And he told him, says, we are the ones that place Bibles in hotels. And he talked to Mikhail probably for 3 or 4 minutes, explaining to him what the Gideon ministry was all about. So you can become a Gideon. Curtis Oakes, a Gideon from Burlington, North Carolina, Sunday school teacher. And we had a great Sunday school class this morning lesson. I enjoyed it very much. He was burdened for the lost. And he had this couple that came to his Sunday school class. His name was Lester Izell, him and his wife. And they came for a while, and then they quit. And Curtis would call them, he would write them, he'd visit them, but just could not get them back in church. About a year later, he was reading in the newspaper about this man in Florida that was on death row, and his name was Lester Izell. He called and found out it was the same Lester Izell that was in his Sunday school class. He went, drove all the way down to Tallahassee to the state prison, and asked the warden if he could go in and speak to Lester. And the warden refused. His only people that can go see Lester is his immediate family and the chaplain. So as Curtis was leaving, he went through the back door, knelt down and prayed for Lester that somehow he would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he was on his knees, someone placed their hand on his shoulder. And he got up, and the gentleman was standing there. He says, I understand you would like to talk to Lester Izell. And he said, yes, sir, if it be possible. He says, I am the commissioner of prisons for the state of Florida. Come with me. So he led Curtis down to the warden's office again. He says, I want you to take Curtis back and let him speak to Lester Ezell. A guard took him back, and as he was going down the corridor, and you've seen movies where the prisoners, you know, they have their hands laid out to the cell door. Well, Lester saw Curtis coming down. He says, don't you come down here. I want nothing to do with you. But he went and he placed one of these little, we call them personal workers' testaments that Gideons purchase on their own and they hand out to individuals and have that opportunity to witness to them. He slid it under the door and left. About 2 months later, he got a letter from Lester. And he said, I just want to let you know that with that little testament you left me, I have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. About 6 months later, he got another letter from Lester, and he says, by the time you received this letter, I would have paid my price to society for what I've done. But to let you know that I have won 47 people to the Lord Jesus Christ. One was a reporter that came to interview me. So see, as a Gideon, you can have an opportunity to place those Bibles. You can also do it with your donations. There is a rack on the outside entrance out here that has the Gideon cards in them, in memory, thinking of you, and the other one is the in recognition for weddings or whatever. In your bulletin, you have an insert. If you did not come to prepare to give this morning, you can drop that in the mail. It has our address on it that you can get it to us. I want to thank you again for allowing me to represent the Gideons International and tell you what you're doing through this ministry. Without you, there would be no Gideon ministry. Thank you.